Just gone 10 past 2 o'clock on The Full Circle with myself, Bridget Masinga, on SAFM, leading the conversations that move a nation. Right now, we are going to be catching up with Nicholas Carroll, who is an associate tax and exchange control expert. And we're going to be finding out, Roddy's going to be helping us unpack matters around some SARS compliance issues, right? And he's well placed, of course, as part of the leading law firm, Cliff Decker Hofmeyer. There was a recent case before the tax court that sent a clear message to taxpayers when objecting to additional tax assessments that simply disputing the figures without providing full supporting documents won't be enough. So we're going to get the merits and the details behind this case, what makes it significant, and of course everything that you and I need to know. How are you doing this afternoon, Nicholas?
Hi, Bridget. It's great to be on. Thanks.
Thank you so much for the time. All right, let's get the details from you. The details around this particular case, from what I understand, it was a dispute that involved a neurologist and his medical practice with SARS.
Yes, so that's correct. It's an interesting case, and if you take the time to read it, although it can be dry, it does have some interesting points in it, some background there. But in effect, it was a taxpayer, as you say, a neurologist and his practice. And SARS had used its powers in terms of the Tax Administration Act to go to the bank and request his bank statements and his practice's bank statements. And on the basis of those bank statements had raised additional assessments, so additional tax assessments for these two taxpayers. And these two taxpayers took exception to that and lodged objections against those additional assessments. And really what ended up happening is that SARS in that process, that objection process, requested certain information from the taxpayers in order for them to clarify what income the taxpayers had earned, and so as to correctly assess them for tax. And the taxpayers refused essentially to give this information to SARS, which then resulted in those additional assessments. And even throughout the objection phase, so when the taxpayers lodged their objection, they still didn't provide this information that was necessary in support of their objections. So SARS then ruled those objections to be invalid. And what's quite important is SARS won't consider the merits of an objection unless that objection is actually valid. So it's quite important for a taxpayer to make sure that when they submit their objection, it is valid in terms of the requirements of the Tax Administration Act, so that SARS can judge it on the merits.
Okay.
This ended up in the tax court, of course, because the taxpayers took SARS's decision about the validity of the objection to the tax court. But from a tax compliance perspective, it's a very, very interesting case.
Yeah. And we'll definitely get into that. I just want to understand, because obviously this is not our area, you know, and we are just but common folks just trying to submit our taxes. So you say that SARS used its administrative powers to solicit bank statements, right? I already know someone was thinking like me going, wait, so SARS can, you know, go forward and solicit one's bank statements without necessarily requiring you, the individual, to produce them.
Yes. No, that's absolutely correct. And SARS has quite wide-ranging powers of information collection so that they can carry out their mandate. So, of course, they can go to you, the taxpayer, and request certain information, but they can also go to third parties, such as your bank, and request information about you, financial information. And on the basis of that information, such as your bank statements, they can either then go to you as the taxpayer and request additional information, because if they see something in your bank statement which doesn't make sense, then they can ask for a justification for that. Or they can use that to make what's called an estimation assessment. So where they believe that the taxpayer hasn't been fully compliant and hasn't been upfront about their tax affairs, SARS can take that information, and on the basis of that, they can estimate the tax due. and make that estimation assessment. And then, of course, the taxpayer can object to that, but in the process, provide the relevant information to substantiate that objection, i.e., show why SARS is wrong.
And when they make and issue this estimated tax assessment, would that be in the instance where perhaps you are submitting a higher figure for your returns, and the dispute is there that they are saying perhaps, well, it doesn't correlate. You're saying we owe you 100K, but it seems as though in fact we owe you 60.
Yeah, so if I'm understanding your question correctly, it's unlikely that SARS would do that estimated assessment in the case where you've overpaid your tax. It's
Okay,
more where
yes.
you've underpaid your
Underpaid your
tax.
taxes. Yes, that's what
Yeah,
I'm trying to say, yeah.
exactly, yes. Yeah, no, so yes, exactly. So if SARS looks at your bank statements and says that you had inflow into your accounts of X amount, but you've only declared taxable income of X minus 40, then they'll say, where's that 40 gone? Why is that not taxable income in your hands?
Got
And
you.
that's when they'll come to you and say, can you provide us with further information? And in this case, the taxpayer effectively refused to provide that further information.
Very interesting. And by way of compliance, what are the consequences of non-compliance? And I guess in this case, because you said that it had some interesting case points to it, perhaps walk us through that, whether by way specific to this case or just in general, for us normal taxpayers.
Well, if you're not compliant with SARS, SARS can, well, they have a number of remedies available to them. So what happened in this case, where the taxpayer wasn't compliant, and didn't submit the information requested by SARS, SARS then went ahead and raised additional assessments, which were based on the estimate. Those assessments then say that the taxpayer owes an amount of tax, and that tax is a debt due to SARS. And of course, then, as the taxpayer did in this case, they can object. SARS, however, also has the ability, and this comes to also those third parties, so like a bank, for example, when it goes to that third party, if that third party refuses to provide the information which SARS has requested and which SARS is entitled to request, SARS can then also bring a court case against that person to compel them to provide that information. And although I did say that SARS has quite broad-ranging powers, it does have its limits. So if SARS is going to a third party, so not necessarily the taxpayer in question, they have to be able to identify which taxpayer's information they require with sufficient specificity. Of course, SARS won't be able to get hold of privileged information. So that's information which is coming from in the form of legal advice, essentially. So there are limits to it, but beyond that, if SARS does have that entitlement to the information, then it can compel the taxpayer by taking them to court, or the third party by taking them to court, or as they did in this case with the taxpayer, they merely estimated the tax due and raised the assessment, and then the ball was in the taxpayer's court to object to that.
And obviously, I'm wondering if one remains, because you say that they do have far-reaching powers. If you continuously are non-compliant in the extreme cases, is there potential here for legal action by SARS?
Sorry, Bridget, I lost you there for a second. Do you
Sure.
mind repeating?
I was saying that in the instance that one remains sort of rebellious and non-compliant, is there potential for legal action for SARS to take against you, or legal actions?
Absolutely. Yes. So when you have that outstanding tax debt, then SARS is able to collect that in any way that they're able to collect a normal tax debt. So they can have judgment against you in the court, and they can essentially instruct the sheriff, as with any debt that is outstanding and due to a creditor, they are a creditor. They can then enforce that debt by having assets seized. They can even place, if it's a corporate taxpayer, they can place that taxpayer in liquidation. So yes, they have very far-reaching powers when it comes to collecting that tax debt, which arises as a result of these assessments.
What sort of or why ob why are objections determined invalid? What could be some of the reasoning for some where SARS goes, it's an invalid objection.
Well, something which you pointed out is that SARS is essentially going into a dispute blind, even though they are a
Nicholas? Okay, let's take a quick pause and then we'll come back and try and reestablish that connection with Nicholas. We are using WhatsApp, so it is dependent on network connectivity from our end and his end as well. We'll take a quick break and then we'll be right back.